We're at Shir Hashirim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tesvav. Okay? Hinoch Yofor Ayosi. Hinoch, behold, you are beautiful, my beloved. Hinoch Yofor, you are beautiful. In other words, expresses the beauty. Einayich Yoinim. Your eyes are like Yoinim, like the Yoinah, like the dove. Rashi, Hinoch Yofor Ayosi. Ani Hoyisi Busho Bikilkuli. I was embarrassed at the kilkulim that I did. Now, which kilkul are we talking about here? Let's see. I don't know. Okay, well, it could be that we're talking about the egel. We were talking before about the egel and what we did in the midbar. For who his kani b'divrei ritzuyim loimer solachti kedvarecha. This is after the egel. I was busha. Why? Finally, we made such a terrible mistake. Again, we have to repeat it all the time because the Welt this misrepresents. This, we weren't talking about Avodah Zorah. We're talking about the Dor Deo Tzadike Elyoin. And they made a toast there. The Erev Rav were the ones that said, Eile Elohecho Yisroel. They tried to induce them. The Sutton was the one that made it into an egel. Aaron just tried to stall them by throwing all the gold into the thing, but they came running. He thought it would take a long time for the women. The Sutton Chazal, they also made a picture of a Leviah that they saw. Imagine them looking up. They were so worried Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come. And now here they see a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu's Leviah in Shemayim. So they just fell apart.
What? He did that?
That's what it says the Sutton did. So, but behold, what? Chazal. But behold, Zeus, it was a mistake. The mistake, the way I touch it up, according to at least the Ramban and some of the Meforshim, is that they were too gezunt. They were too dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership. You know, it's a lesson for our times too. It can't be, you know, if you're over dependent on the Rebbe, you know, it's not a healthy thing. You know, the over dependence is dangerous because then when that if that ceases, you're finished. You're lost. You have nothing. I like to tell the story for people that I feel get too overly dependent. I heard from a Rav in Los Angeles many years ago. So he said this lady was very many years she didn't have children. She used to go to the Rav in her shtetl and ask for a brocha and this. She should daven for nothing else. One day she comes and says, "I sold my possessions. I bought a round trip ticket to Warsaw, where all the Chassidish Rebbes are. She's going to see the Rebbe to get a brocha from the Rebbe." She gets to Warsaw, she realizes she has no money. She doesn't have money for a kvittel, for a pidyon, you know, for the gabbai, for this. She goes back home. 9 months later, she comes to invite the Rav to the bris. So, you know, but one thing she says, "Rabbi, I never got to see the Rebbe." So he says to her, of course in Yiddish it sounds better, but you'll forgive me. No, we'll do it in Yiddish, I'll translate it. Ihr seht, eb der Rebischte will das beweisen, er kann das beweisen an dem Rebben. You see, if Hashem wants to do it, he can do it without the Rebbe too. So, you know, we got to know, we can't be overly dependent. That seems by the egel, they were like, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, ki zeh Moshe, that's what the Pasuk says. Ki zeh Moshe ish lo yodano Moshe hoyelo. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? So we were vulnerable to some substitute leadership, and again, the Sotan got involved, the Erev Rav got involved, and all things together, they were nichshel in something, whatever it was. It's akin to Avodah Zorah because of the fact that it took the focus off Hashem.
So who says that they were nechshol because of that? Maybe they're just saying because we need Moshe Rabbeinu to lead us. Meaning they're not saying it in like, okay, he's just as equal to Hashem.
No, you're right. That's it. But that too. But they became because of that they were vulnerable. Because they were worried about the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. They became so vulnerable to some kind of a mascot or some kind of a this. You know, once it came out the Egel Azov, they said, oh. We'll focus on the eagle. We don't know exactly how that worked, but whatever it was. So, but they were busha. Ani ha'isi busha b'kilkuli. But who chizkeni? He strengthened me. B'divrei ritzuyim with words of appeasement. Loimar solachti kidvarecha. I've accepted your tefillas. I have forgiven you, according to you know what you said. Apare at yofo ve'yofo ki einayich yoinim. And you're, not only that, he says you're beautiful. You're most beautiful. Yofa v'yofa, because it says, Hinoch yofa ros hinech yofa, repeats it twice. You're super beautiful, because your eyes are like doves. Kleimar, the eyes of Hashem is talking to Klal Yisrael. Really? This is the solach to give varech. I have forgiven you, and I'm telling you how beautiful I consider you. Yofe ve'yofe ki einayich yoinim. Klema kalo she'ineh ki urim. He says for Moshe, a kalo whose eyes are ugly, kol gufat tzricha b'diko. That's what Chazal say. If her eyes are ugly, then you could be suspicious that there's some other parts that are also ugly. You have to be bedik the whole guf. Ve'sheineh noim, if her eyes are beautiful, ein gufat tzricha b'diko. You see the beauty in the eyes. You know, in the veld, I don't know, nobody should be offended. I'm not looking at anyone, the color of anyone's eyes. But in the veld, you know, at least in some circles, blue eyes. Oh, blue eyes? You got blue eyes? Yeah, you got blue eyes? Okay, anyway, yeah?
No. I know, dark blue.
What?
Dark blue.
Yeah, dark blue? I don't know if that counts. Okay. Anyway, yeah? All right? So, blue eyes, okay? Sheineo anoim ein gufa tzricha b'diko. Va'dugmo zuhi. Listen to the dugmo. Mochalti loch alavineich. Hashem says, I've forgiven you for the chet ha'egel. V'harei at yofo b'naseh, v'hinoch yofo b'nishma. You are beautiful with naseh and beautiful with nishma. Yofo b'maseh ovos. You're beautiful with the maseh ovos. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, this is who you come from. Yofo b'masecho. With your own actions, you're beautiful. Ki einayich yoinim, tzadikim yesh b'cho. Oh, let's just stop. Okay, ki, and then he says, you're offering all these things, ki, because, ki einayich yoinim, tzadikim yesh biyodech shedov kubi, ki yoinu zu shemakeres es ben zuga, einam anichato sheizdovig la'acher. Because you have tzadikim amongst you, that clung to me, like a yoinu. The yoinu says, when she recognizes her ben zug, well, again, I guess, she recognizes who her mate is. Einam anichoso, she is David Lacher. She doesn't let him have relations with anybody else. Kach ve'yosu elav kol b'nei Levi v'lo toa be'egel. So too the b'nei Levi. They were not toa be'egel. I guess since they were so connected to Hashem, they wouldn't allow themselves to go anyplace else. So we'll see in a minute. Ve'oid, hinoch yofu melechas ha-mishkon. You're also yofu melechas ha-mishkon. Shenem ha-vini osu oiso. They made it. Va'yevorech oiso ha-mishkon. And they gave him a brocha. Harei shekil so malkach. And he praised them for the mishkon also. Now, what in the world is going on over here? They sinned, okay? They're embarrassed because of the kilkulim that they did. So the dugma is, I forgave you. And you're yofu benaseh, yofu benishma. Yofu b'maseh ovis. And Yofa b'maasecho. Now, Nasa v'nishma I did before. Nasa v'nishma was at Har Sinai, and then we did the Egel. So, one of my Yofa b'nasa v'nishma, I forgave you. What does that have to do? That's the past. We sinned. Now you forgive us. So now we start again. So it seems that what Hashem says is that when you sinned, then the Nasa v'nishma sort of is obliterated. You put a mechitza there. But once I forgive you for your sin, then the full beauty of your past, when you stood at Har Sinai and you said Nasa v'nishma before you even knew what was coming, right? Nasa v'nishma. Well, first we said we'll do, then we're going to hear what it is. So it says that beauty remains fully intact after you forget. In other words, even though I was mekalkel that 40 days later, I made an egel. But once Hashem forgives for the egel, then your full beauty of Nasa v'nishma comes back. This is very important because there are a lot of people that make mistakes. And even if they do tshuva and they think Hashem has forgiven them, but they think the dirt still remains. They don't know that it says, Noisei ovoim v'pesha v'chato. He carries ovoim, which is mezid, pesha, which is rebellious, chato, which is shogeg, v'nake. And he cleanses it. And the Baalei Musa like to say, like when you go to dry cleaning, you know, if you clean something yourself, sometimes there's a little stain left. But the dry cleaners, with all their chemicals, they remove it completely. V'nake, there's not even a shemitz, there's not even a hint of the past. And here we see you're restored to your full madrega. You made this egel 40 days later. What? That should have undermined everything and made a joke out of what you were makabel the Torah at Har Sinai. No. Hashem forgives, you do tshuva, we feel bad, we're bushed by kilkulia. And it doesn't even really say that how much tshuva they did, but they felt bad about it. I feel bushed by kilkuli. So now Hashem says, listen, I've forgiven you, and once I've forgiven you, you're right back in the godless way you were. But what about this? V'harei V'hinei yofa b'nishma v'yosa b'masei ovis. Yofa masei ovis. What's yofa masei ovis? What is that? Yofa masei ovis. So, if before when I did the egel, I was also yofa masei ovis. If you want to say that I did nasa, I said nasa v'nishma, now I did the egel, so that undermines the nasa v'nishma. But what does it undermine? The masei ovis? Masei ovis is past. So how does the eagle undermine the masei ovis? That now, since I forgave you on the eagle, now you're yofa masei ovis. It should have been yofa masei ovis the same before, either yes or no. Well, what does it have to do with the forgiveness? This is, I think what it means is like this, is that yofi, that was never affected. I don't think anything was nischadish now. But pashtus and svora, it should be that you were always that. In other words, you are that. So when you've distanced yourself from Hashem, so that's like a little bit, but that's who you are. The masei ovis is in us. That's not what we did, that's who we are. And that remains completely. Now, once when we sin, so the pshat is that there's a blockage, even though we have the masei ovis, not that we don't have it. The masei ovis is there. We didn't undermine it by sinning against what we did good before. But the masei ovis is there, but when we remove this interference, then that beauty shines again. So yofa masei ovis, but yofa masecha. Okay, now, ki, listen to this, ki einayich yoinim, tzadikim yesh b'cho shetov kubi, ki yoino, shemeshakeres is bala, that refused to. So what is that? We are considered yofa in masei ovis and in nasa v'nishma, when Hashem forgives us, because there are tzadikim that didn't sin. Mashma, that if there wouldn't have been Shevet Levi that didn't sin, then even after Hashem forgives us, we're not yofa. That's what it says. That's very strange. It says, "Yo yofa b'masei ovos, yo yofa b'nasei v'nishma," because I forgave you, and now this is you're restored to your previous beauty. Ki einayich yoinim tzadikim yesh b'yot choshedov kubi, because there are such tzadikim shedov kubi that never let go.
The basic message that Hashem,
what?
Yeah, I guess it's just like the basic message that one sins, you know, afterwards Hashem still use you as Yofa as opposed to not.
That's true, but I'm asking, it seems it's only key because there were tzaddikim that didn't sin. It sounds like if everybody would have sinned, then that would have been some irreparable breach in the relationship that could not be fully restored. I'm afraid to say it even, but that's what it sounds like, no? Key, because there was Shevet Levi who didn't sin, that's why you're now considered Yofa Masech, Yofa Masech, Yofa Masech, Yofa Benasev and Nishma. But if I guess the pshat is like this. The pshat must be like this. He's talking to Klal Yisrael, right? Klal Yisrael is a unit. There's one unit. Klal Yisrael, our Rebbe Zev will say, this is one goof. It's like komoicha. So the Targum, I think, there says it's like if your right arm hits your left arm, you're not gonna go take revenge or something like that. You know, it's one. We're all one. So it sounds like this. If there's still some group that was fully allegiant or loyal to Hashem, so Mamela, that's matzil the whole Klal Yisrael. But if the whole Klal Yisrael would breach that relationship, then that relationship would be breached, and it would seem that then it couldn't be restored to its fullest original dveikus. In other words, there is, I guess you do tshuva, so we're restored to a certain extent, but that the Klal Yisrael should be able to be restored fully, it's only because that there are still some people that are dovuk b'Hashem. The ramifications of this concept are far-reaching. Eretz Yisrael, now, we have this, you know, people going to the army. They say, well, they're sitting and learning and what? Well, you know something? We always say, yeah, it's the Zchus HaTorah. If not, there would be no Kiyum. Eretz Yisrael only exists by Zchus HaTorah. And if there wouldn't be a Zchus HaTorah, there'd be no Eretz Yisrael. The army wouldn't be able to fight all the miraculous victories that they have is all b'shus haTorah. But it goes further than that. It's the Talmid Chachomim that is sitting and learning, the Shevet Levi. The Rambam says that the Talmid Chachom today are like Shevet Levi, that they just sat and they were Usik Batur. He says, these people, this is what keeps the relationship with Hashem together. It's like another dimension. Hashem overlooks our Chatoim and is able to forgive us and is able to look at our beauty despite our Lichluch. He removes the Lichluch, the Schmutz, and he's able to look at the beauty. How? Because of the fact that at least Shevet Levi, at least the Klal Yisrael was not. But if the Klal Yisrael would be Cholila, completely veer off, then we could not, it seems, be restored to that original beauty. The same thing applies to us also. You know, we live in a world where Klal Yisrael is b'chol in danger. I mean, if the world would have its way, we wouldn't be here. They tried many times, they're still trying, but Lamaisa, what keeps the relationship with Klal Yisrael together? The Shevet Levi that's sitting and learning, those are the people that are making it happen. Okay, but let's just do one more thing because it's almost time. They were not talking. Now, Melechas HaMishkan came after. So it sounds like, unless it's not chronological, it sounds like that Hashem, in his willingness to forgive Klal Yisrael and to reinstate the original beauty, is willing to even look at the beauty of the future. Now imagine that. The love the love affair between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is so intense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. The past, the minute I forgive you, the whole past is rejuvenated as if nothing ever happened. My and even the Mishkan, which Pashtus is only being built later, because that the Mishkan came after they were forgiven for the Egel, and that's what it said, Yovoi, the gold that they bring to the Mishkan, to be mechaper on the gold of the Egel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yofi Maasei Mishkan, that he's in, his love is so intense that even the future he looks and says, you're still beautiful. Why? Because of what you're going to do. Ad kedei kach. That's how much I love you. But I'm not 100% sure that, because it could be that level of Yofa only came after they built the Mishkan, but that's a thought. I just want to mention one thing, the Einayich Yonim. Something that I mentioned, I don't know who heard it, who didn't. What? What's that? Yeah, so that was Friday night, right? Not here. I never did that here. Friday, you were there Friday night? Or you weren't there?
I probably heard it a few times.
Oh, you heard a few times? Well, this is the second or third Madura. Anyway, so Reb Arya Levine used to see, he was friendly with Reb Chaim Berlin, was a Rav in Moscow, and then he retired and he came to Yerushalayim in his later years. And he used to see him Erev Shabbos say Shir HaShirim from a klaf, and when he came to the Pesuk Einayich Yonim, he would cry. Every week. What? Chaim Berlin. It was a big godel. It was a Rav in Moscow, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael. So he asked him, why are you crying? So he told him the following story. He says, when he was a Rav in Moscow, one day in the middle of the night, somebody comes to him, a non-firm person, says, you have to come and do a bris. It was a moel too. You have to do a bris on my son. Okay, fine. Those days it was sakona, do a bris. You do a bris, the communists find out about it, and they send you to the gulag for 100 years or something. You know, it was very dangerous. They could have done anything to him. But he went with him, and he did the bris. And then he asked him, he says, I don't understand. You're not religious, you know. Like, why? You put your life in danger, you do, you know. Okay, so I'll tell you the truth. I'm not religious. I don't think I ever will be. I don't even think my son will ever be. But if he ever wants to come back, I want to make sure he's part of the fold. As a bris, he's ready to do that. So he says, that's the point. Chazal say, besides what Rashi brings, the yoino never goes far enough away from the nest that it can't see its way back. It's always looking to make sure the nest is always in view. That's a Jew. So when I said this, so then a few weeks, something else happened and I connected the two. There's a guy sitting in my office, tattooed all over him, like terrible. The guy was off and he was dying to come back. And it must have been hot or something, so he rolls up his sleeve. And I see over here, Hebrew writing. So I said, what's that? He says, that's Mark Twain's essay, All Things Are Mortal But the Jews, written in Hebrew. He says,
what?
All Things Are Mortal But the Jews. You know Mark Twain's essay? He says, what's the secret of his immortality? So I say, here's a guy emblazoning in his body his permanent rebellion. I'm out of here. Tattoos, you can't remove them anymore. And he had all kinds of stupid things on his body. But over here, he writes, all things are mortal but the Jew. He can't go too far. So when I told this story, so Yankee Weber came back from Israel, and he told me he saw a guy there that was tattooed all over, except on his left arm. So he asked him, how come you don't have tattoo on your left arm? He says, well, when I come back, or if I come back, when I come back, I want to be able to put on tefillin, there shouldn't be a chatzitza. Yeah? This is a nayach yoinim, yeah? So then I told this story. So somebody sent me a picture of a guy tattooed all over with tefillin here and on the right arm and on the left arm. So I said, no, this guy was real for me. That's Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin also, you know what I mean? And he wants to wear them all the time. And I said, maybe the pshat is also, since he's Machal Shabbos, normally you don't put tefillin on Shabbos because Shabbos is an ois. Since he doesn't have the ois of Shabbos, he wants to have it all the time, so he put the tefillin in. Mishugoyim, what's going on? Then someone else told me that he works on a campus in the Midwest someplace. He says he has a guy that was already keeping Shabbos and a Baal Tshuva, you know, on the way. He says he has a problem because he has Yud Kei Vov Kei tattooed on his back. Yeah? Mi Ke'amcho Yisrael. No matter how far they run, no matter how much they want to assure us to know that I'm out of here permanently, never to return, I put it mamish in my body. But what do they put there? Yud Kei Vov Kei, tefillin on the right hand, tefillin on the left hand, leave the left hand open. What was the first one that I saw? All things are mortal but the Jew. And in Hebrew, no. This is what a Jew is. He never runs far enough away that he can't see his way back. Okay. There's my thing.